Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
We are a real-life couple.
A real-life couple of comedians.
And on Couples Therapy,
in quarantine,
we answer a couple different questions from a couple different listeners. Hi,
well,
Squee.
Well, well.
Of course, we start recording, and immediately Squee comes over because he sees the mics, and he's like, if I annoy them enough, they will give me dry food.
But it's too late.
It's too late. We started.
You gotta wait till after we record, honey. If you want to bother, she gotta do it before we hit record.
Yeah, dummy.
Can you tell? Can you tell when we hit the record button?
Stupid.
Andy, don't even joke about it. Being so mean, even though I did call Squee a bitch. So I don't know if
I
should say such
How
things.
Dare you? I've never called Squee a bitch in my life.
He was being a bitch. Okay, this thing this cat likes to do, y'all. So I tend to go to bed early before Andy. And the cat, what he likes to do is knock stuff off my bedside table. And then when I get up, you know, rise, you know, and this is always like just as I'm about to go to sleep, y'all, where I'll be like nice and cozy. And I'm like, take me away. And then he'll just like knock a remote control and my glasses off the side table. And then when I try to get up to get him out of the room, he hides under the bed. And I said, you bitch, you are doing this. And I'm like, this is not cute. This is not a game, but I think he thinks it's a game. I get so worked up about it.
He does think it's a game.
He does. And I'm always like, Squee, this is not a game. This is real life.
That's what I say. It's so much of a game, I can't think. Michael Douglas.
Is that a movie?
Yes.
Called The Game?
The Game. But I couldn't think of who was. I just remembered Michael Douglas was in it. I couldn't remember who the protagonist was.
Yeah.
Which is who, if I was going to make a joke.
Of course.
You're Michael Douglas in this.
Oh,
you're the one being buried in the desert.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And squeeze whoever the protagonist is. You know what? I ain't IMDb, folks. I'm sorry. I ain't IMDb. I'm making t-shirts with my face.
I ain't IMDb. You are Andy B.
I am Andy B.
You are Andy B. That's you. To
and
the
you
max.
Are Annie C.
I'm not Annie C. You guys, my identity was just briefly stolen on Facebook. Some bot or a person, I don't know, just like took a bunch of pictures from my Instagram and made it their pictures, like their profile, their life. And they really got some of my best looks. And my favorite was like, literally their picture was like one of my old headshots. And the caption was, just being me. Which, I mean, if there's one thing that person wasn't being, it was themselves. Okay, they were being me. And it was very upsetting. And it took a lot of messages from a lot of people to get Facebook to finally take it down.
No, it took someone inside Facebook. You couldn't even, you're like, and just imagine, Naomi, you are like a somewhat well-known stand-up, right? Just imagine like a person who doesn't have, who's not like on Comedy Central, who's not on Apple TV trying to get their, whose identity gets stolen on Facebook. Like they,
Facebook
ignored you until someone who worked there, who was a fan of yours, was like, oh, I'll do something about this.
Well, it's also like, well, apparently too, they, Erin Gloria Ryan, host of Hysteria podcast, she said this also happened to her. And she was like, oh, and they fixed it within a couple hours. Not in my case. And I realized because I'm sure it has to do with the fact that Erin is verified. Like, she's got the blue check mark. And I'm just a regular old person on Facebook. Also, I barely use Facebook. And I think, like, if I was verified, would they have handled it quicker? But we need an inside man. We need an inside man. What movie is that? Who's that, an inside man?
It's Mark Zuckerberg. It's Denzel Washington. I know.
Denzel. We need a Denzel to get me right.
That,
but luckily,
hunk Denzel.
Denzel. That hunk Denzel. Who is that man? That character contains multitudes.
I want to make t-shirts, though. So her, the person who stole Naomi's identity, their name was Annie. A-N-N-Y.
Correct.
C. E-E. Yep. Annie C. I want pictures of Naomi's face, and it says Annie C above, and then below it says, just being me.
Love it. Love it. Let's call T Public. Just Naomi. Make like five, though.
Naomi, who's our guest today?
Oh, my God.
Is it someone we've been a fan of for a long, long time?
Absolutely. You've already...
Hey, call Tim and Eric. Absolutely.
I won't call them, though. However, today's guest, you've already heard the dulcet tones of Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Ooh.
Ooh, baby. Mary Lynn, actor, comedian, kind soul. You know her maybe from 24. You maybe know her from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Mr. Show.
She's got a brand new special out that you can rent or buy called Mary Lynn Rice Cub Live from the Pandemic. And you can get that online, honey. It's all happening.
I got to tell you. I can barely clean the house in the pandemic. And Mary Lynn's up in here making an entire special.
Can you imagine? And it is special indeed. You know what I mean? Sometimes people be making specials and it's like, you should call this a normal. But this special is popping off. And that is amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like so impressed.
Yeah, we talk about it. But like, I've been a fan of Mary Lynn's for decades now.
I know.
I mean, since Mr. Show in the late 90s.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
since the Mr. Show days. So. And she was very so exciting. Lovely. And
she was so
started
lovely,
off a little tardy.
Yeah.
We started a little late. And it was like, ah! We were like very discombobulated.
Yeah, Squee puked. I think Squee puked like below where all the equipment is. And what is, I'm going to tell you this, Naomi.
What?
Well, you know this, but I'm going to tell you this, listeners.
Yeah.
There's certain times when you expect your cats to puke.
Yes.
Like when we wake up sometimes. They've been so hungry overnight that they eat all the hair.
Ew.
That they spit up.
Specific about it. I was just going to say, overnight, they're doing God knows what, so why not wake up to puke? Because they're living a whole life while we're asleep.
They're eating hair. But at 11 o'clock in the morning?
I know.
11 o'clock in the morning? Where did this come from? What did you get into?
That voice, for some reason, really got me.
Hey, before we get into the show, though, Naomi.
Oh, yes.
Two major plugs.
Well, two major.
We got big shows coming up.
Ain't that the tooth?
Not in person, folks. These are online because we're not scum. We're not the scum of the earth.
Jesus. The point is, no matter where you are, you can see these shows. That's the beauty of an online show, honey. Andy, tell them about that first one.
First one, fundraiser, March 6th.
March 6th.
Naomi and I, we were asked to host this.
This is huge.
Now, you know... us and some of our friends, we've been doing all these fundraisers for the past year.
Yes.
During quarantine. This is, you know, a lot for DSA. This one is for another socialist group called Socialist Alternative.
We love it.
And so I'll just give the brief. There's a city council member in Seattle. She's a socialist. And a bunch of right-wing shitheads are trying to recall her.
Yes.
And so we're trying to raise funds for her defense. Yeah. Right.
You got to fight that recall,
you
baby.
You got to fight right-wing shitheads wherever you can.
Wherever you can.
Wherever
and the
can.
Recall, it's like, see, it's one of these things that just come down to money. And it's like, oh, you want some money? We about to fight you. And that is what this fundraiser is about.
Yeah. And who's on it? Oh, besides us hosting it, Joel Kim Booster, John Early.
We love it.
Aparna
Nancherla.
Aparna Nancherla. Rhea Butcher.
Who you just heard last week and loved every second of. We are, the lineup is a cavalcade of stars.
Yeah.
All right.
And if you go to bit.ly/ I'm going to mispronounce your name so that you can read this. Kashama-donate. Kshama-donate.
Yes.
You can donate and you can watch the show then. So, you know, I think you can donate whatever you want, like $5 or something.
Yeah. See,
that cavalcade of stars.
Thank you. Honestly, it's a gift to you. Quite frankly, it's a gift to you as we raise funds. So, you got to check it out. Also, just a very week later, Saturday, March 13th, 6 p.m. Pacific time, we will be coming to you with our good friends at Dynasty Typewriter for the Couples Therapy Quarantine Party.
One year in isolation.
Yes, Saturday, March 13th does mark a year to the day that we first went into quarantine. And the fact is, we're survivors, people. We've made it through this, and we have got to honor ourselves. And that's what this show is going to do. Yeah, we are going
to
have
honor. Your honor. We'd like to honor. Yes, Bryan Cranston, your honor. We would like to honor this 1 year.
We will be answering questions.
We're going to have
guests. We will be having guests.
We will be answering your advice questions. Yes, we will be doing it all. 6 p.m. PST, 9 p.m. EST, March 13th. If you go to dynastytypewriter.com, you can get tickets there.
Well, well, well. Don't we have two Saturdays planned for you? You're welcome. We all need things to do in the pandemic.
Especially on the weekends. The weekends never, the feeling of the weekend has not changed. You still, my brain still expects me to go out at least one night.
You expect something to happen.
Yeah.
Anything of any kind. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well,
I think that's about it.
I think it's time.
Why don't we get into this gosh darn episode, Naomi?
Okay, then I'll say it. Roll it.
Marilyn, thank you for being here. Thank you for bearing with
our
animal
me.
Emergency.
We are back. We are present. We appreciate you.
I psychically felt you. I also had the animal emergency, the cat. I was like, how did he get out? Like, I only went out to take the trash and I...
Oh, no.
Oh,
I had typed up the next door neighbor. I was about to pull the trigger. The only reason why it didn't go wide is because it asked me, do you want to use the map or not? Like, I thought I had sent it because I was getting dressed to go outside.
Yeah.
But it was at that level where I had already done several rounds. And then I was like, okay, I got it. I have the dog and the cat. Got a divorce. That's what I was getting into.
Yes.
We went from spit up to divorce.
Yeah.
A natural line.
For the listener, we were late because we found surprise vomit.
And also,
was it on your equipment?
No.
On the floor.
But still. But it's more like the unexpectedness of the viscous. An unexpected viscousness that is... Hi, hello, Mabel. Yes.
And then also, but it's like, you know, I think you two more, like, you know, you're a very scheduled person, Andy, like regimented. So he was like, okay, we're knowing that like 11 is our start. These are the things I'm going to do before that happens, right? And then you don't plan the time to clean up vomit. Well,
hold on. I don't plan. I plan my life within the minute, which is not which is my own.
Do you make lists?
Yes.
Oh God.
Do I make
in the morning or at night?
Both.
Always. Constantly.
And
not only. What's that?
For the day, for the week, for the month.
All. There's long-term projects. There's stuff that has to get done today. And also, then I also at night. It's less lists at night. It's more that I send myself emails with the subject of something I have to do, and so that when I check my email in the morning, I know I have to do those things.
Yeah.
So the extreme, I have a military mentality when it comes to
existence. Yeah, a military mentality.
I've always heard of soldiers and their lists, you know, they're always like stopping, taking out the pen.
All those Vietnam movies, like Full Metal Jacket.
Yeah, they're just like, got it. Done. Viet Cong. Yeah.
Fell in the hole full of punji sticks. Gotcha. So, but then we started talking, you have animals, and then you started saying you got divorced 2 years ago.
And then the dog came?
The dog happened. The cat, I think we talked about the cat the first time you and I met, but that cat was my ex's cat. Oh. Like, that was his whole thing. I mean, I have a 10-minute comedy bit about him planning for the cat, paying for the cat, the buildup, pre-naming the cat. And then I had just, you know how life's chapters come to an end. I had two dogs before I had my husband and my kid. Mm-hmm. And both of those dogs were at the end of their lives. And then, you know, my son was like, let's look on the rescue webs, you know, that whole thing. Like, let's just look. And so then my ex was kind of waffling about the cat because he was leaving the house. You know, it was the cat's house. and then I had gotten the dog, and then he's like, okay, I don't think I'm going to take the cat. And then I was like, I'm going to train them to be best friends. Like, it's totally fine.
Wait, why? Do you mind if I ask, why did your ex not
take
want
this,
to take
the
cat?
Traumatic cat that he like played
it
for?
It was a whole thing. He says that, like, at first, because he got a condo. I have since moved. That's a whole other story. A lot happened during the pandemic. But he got a condo, and he's like, there's some weird spots up there, and I don't know if it's a good place for him, and I don't know if I can have a cat, and I don't know if I can handle it. Like, the uncertainty, because he wasn't sure what he was going to be doing or something. And then later, like a few months later, he goes, oh, of course I can handle it. I just knew that you loved the cat. Thank you for the immediate laughter, because I was like, that's not how that works. Like, it's your cat. Right. Discuss it. And if you want to take the cat, we figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
But that was like an interesting turn, because it's like, well, what am I supposed to do with that? Oh, okay. Thank you. Like,
right.
I didn't ask for the cat.
Oh, what a world. What a life.
So it was, he was making a decision. He was making a decision on your behalf.
Thank you for clarifying that.
I think he was pretending. Like, no, he legit was like, I don't know my situation. And then when you insinuate that, like, he maybe couldn't handle it, he's like, oh, no, I can handle it. Oh. That's what I think. That's what I think. I never met the man.
You said you couldn't handle it. And he's like, of course I can handle it. Like, it's a cat. Like, it's my cat.
Oh.
Yeah. But I don't know if it also, like, subconsciously, and again, I'm just, like, extrapolating. Right. Obviously, I would know if anyone would know, but just for the sake of conversation, does it, and he might not even know he's doing this, and now I'm kind of making stuff up. Disclaimer, I'm not saying he's doing, but, like, is there a subconscious part of me is still with you? Like, I can, like, you know, and not so much anymore, but there was a little bit, like, you know, if you live with a man in the future, like, I'm taking it. It's like a like part of him is still with me. I don't know. Or a reason to be like, how's he doing?
Right.
And maybe I'm thinking of that because I also just had a cat health thing.
I was gonna say I don't it seems amicable. I don't mean to speak ill of your ex, but it seems...
I opened it by giving that tidbit of like...
I was reading it. It's interesting. I was reading it like he was being this kind of like bro-y protector. Like, she needs the... I don't know.
Yeah, that's
voice.
A good voice. That's
she, yeah.
She needs this cat. I'm a rock, but she needs the cat.
I think that's correct.
Oh, okay.
I think that
okay.
is true. But I think it's sort of both and somewhat in between. And I think it's not really fully expressed, and I'll never know. I just have to take him on. And that's like infuriating.
Yeah.
Right. But then again, it just is, because it's like, well, you said that. And then later, now the story that you remember or you'd rather be is the like, I gave her the cat.
It's yeah,
like,
I let
okay.
her have it.
Yeah. Or, but like, it's also, it's like you were saying, it seems also like it's someone who after a date leaves like a piece of clothing behind.
So to make sure, you can hook up again.
Yeah.
I left my sweatshirt. I left my cat.
I just want to come check on the cat.
I mean, but you also have a kid, so it's like a kid and a cat, you know. So either way, there's a reason to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. There's that guy too. The child we made together.
Wait, how long had you been married?
Going on 10 years, just under 10 years.
Okay.
And you're feeling okay now? You seem okay now.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. It's better. It's just like a lot of alone time during the pandemic. It's a lot of alone time. And I have no idea how I will, online dating is just like
don't think of it. Well, okay. I was going to say, don't think of it now, but also Andrew and I, we are very good at swiping for other people. Andrew's also very good at introductory messages, because he will say something wild.
So I can come to you guys and you'll swipe and leave my messages. Okay. Exactly. I didn't even let you finish your sentence. I got weirdly excited about that because I'm totally down for, please, can you do all the legwork?
Yeah,
absolutely.
decide? And so will you go so far as to decide if I can have a like an initial conversation?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. Of course. Yeah. And this is not a bit. This is not like we're going to do this for public consumption. If you come to us and you're like, please do this. Yeah. We've done this for friends before.
Like, you can even give me your, if you want to be like, you just have to tell me your parameters. You know, what are you into? And then I will download this app. I will sign in as you. And I'm just going to keep it going because what I enjoy is online shopping.
Yes.
And what I also enjoy is judging people.
And also role
playing.
And this
is the best part.
This is like Dungeons and Dragons. This is our Dungeons and Dragons.
Dungeons and Dragons.
This is our avatar. This
I
is
see,
our.
I see. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So you have done this for.
Yes.
Yeah.
Multiple
we've matches. We've gotten some matches. We've gotten some dates. It was funny. One of them, this guy was like, "I'll meet up with you tonight," and we were, and that's when we immediately said, "Nope, nope, too fast, too eager." But we can really reel him in, and nothing.
Well, that's not hard to have a guy on a dating app say, "I'll meet you tonight." That's not. You're acting as if that was like the supreme act of like, can you believe what we did? We got a guy on a dating app to say he would meet a woman that night.
I don't know, but like the messages you write, like we're not sitting here flirting. Like you'll write like jokes and kind of like really sort of.
Yes, and you're acting as if that's like.
I don't know. I feel like it's a
some
guy just
dumb
I don't
bro
know.
On a Mary, dating app.
Mary, who's, I don't
wait,
know.
What are you saying? You're when you said you will sit here and make jokes that's what you want to do, right?
Right.
Yes.
But I'm saying that the difficulty of getting a guy.
I know, but I guess I just didn't realize it was like that. Like I feel like if you write message a guy where you're like, what are you up to? And it's like very, you know, suggestive and open. Well, sure. He'll see you in an hour. But if you're like joking, like, hey, you have serial killer eyes. What are you about? And he's like, you want to hang out? I'm like, that's weird. Don't you think, Mary?
You look like a more handsome John Wayne.
You jumped
Wayne
a couple steps ahead. No, I am right there with the female in me. When you're just initial laughter. Like a guy going, you want to meet up in an hour? Like, that's not a good.
Right. Yeah,
I'm right there with you. That's not a good. And to not recognize that there's a banter going on is what you're saying.
Exactly.
That's weird. That's not what you want. If you can't see what I'm doing. Meanwhile, I've done exactly the opposite. I met a guy at the laundromat and I went to have tea with him. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it was same night and he was a stranger. And he also said, and I also made the mistake of telling him I did comedy. And he's like, tell me a joke.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
But it was exactly that thing. And I should have known from the get-go that there was there was not a banter there.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the past I've like thrown myself into things. But now I have your help. I've already recruited you.
Yeah.
But I have to make myself, you have to have banter.
Yes.
Then maybe a voice call. Then maybe a Zoom call.
Yes.
Before you even like, absolutely. Why are we going to go meet in person? Like, why? We don't even know, you know, right. In that case, I don't even know how I talk to you beyond text.
Right. Exactly.
That's not good.
Especially in a pandemic. Like, it's like they do have to go through the extra layer. You know what I mean? You have to be like, okay, if I'm going to sit outside with you 6 feet apart and like, you know, not knowing all your life and all your business, you got to razzle fucking dazzle. That's what they need to do. And if they don't razzle dazzle, you sit in your damn house with your dog and your cat.
Yeah.
What was your dating life like before you were married?
Well, thank you for asking.
Were you a woman about town? Were you like a chronic relationship person?
I would say serial monogamous, okay. But I also it's weird because I had no game, but I had like all the game at the same time. You know, like I always was going out with somebody. I was always in some passionate love affair, but my time for dating was in the 90s. I had a backpack, you know, and just like a scowl and just like, what's going on with you? You want to hang out? And then we would be boyfriend, girlfriend. Like that's how I would roll it out with the gentleman.
Wow.
Was it, what were you dating people in the comedy scene?
Yeah. Yeah, I was.
Why were you doing that? Did you want to be happy?
Because I didn't have you to tell me to not do that. Okay? I didn't know. I would just follow my emotions, my feelings. I was extricated from a social scene. I lost a job. I was on Mr. Show with Bob and David. I was dating David Cross and I broke up with him to date because I fell in love with somebody else. And then I got fired from Mr. Show. Like, I did all the things wrong.
Wait, what?
I just saw your intake of breath.
Andy She's can't like, take it.
Yeah. And you just froze. You're like, Yeah.
Wait. No. I'm sorry. That's. Just
I know.
So,
it really startled him. I'm not it really startled. Him.
Yeah. These are just things in my encyclopedia, but I realize I can't just throw them out there because right. There's a lot in there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. What can I?
What no. It's what can you answer?
It's the because when I first knew you from Mr. Show, and so just the like, I don't know. That just seems nuts to be like, you're so funny from like that's. When
right,
I first
right.
Became,
to be like fired.
Became kind of a fan of yours, and it's just
to
like
be fired, right?
Yeah, for like a relation, like it's just weird.
It's
I'm
it
sorry,
is
I'm
weird.
Stymied a little bit.
It is. It. I am too. I feel like it's like an uncovered. I have a friend of mine who's in her late 20s. She's in New York, but she was like. And I say that because I do think it was a different time. It was before, not that there's an excuse for it, but it was like Me Too and like these next couple generations of like, things are really changing. And for as much as I absolutely love those guys, always will, it was a, you know, a formative time for me. I couldn't have been happier to just like be around them. Like it was very giddy. It was very creatively fertile. There was a lot of love there. You know, but it was also like a guy's club. And, but my friend was saying, you know, you should call him and kind of like saying, like, have that conversation. What, like 20 years later of, you know, you like, that was not cool. Like, yeah. That was not cool to like fire me for breaking up with you and then write a sketch about it. Like, that was not cool.
Oh, what? Girl.
I'm sorry.
Oh, girl.
Well, because I broke his heart and I started dating another guy instantly. And he wrote a sketch about that guy. But it was the kind of thing where you couldn't like really pinpoint it, except it was completely obvious. Like,
if you were in it. Right. If you were in it, you know exactly what it was about.
Yeah.
That's like this band Superchunk that I like. And the bass player and the lead singer were dating. Mm-hmm. And then they broke up. And then he wrote an entire breakup album. That she's still in the band, and so she had to play. They still play songs. She has to sit there and listen to him sing about her.
Oh,
that makes mine sound healthy in comparison. He's like, you act in this sketch like you still love me.
Oh God.
I mean, you sound. I mean, some of this shit is like so nuts, meaning like fucked up. But you obviously, you know, you are on the other side of it all where you're like, you know what? It was wild, but it happened. Did you deal with like resentment sort of? Because I know for me, like, for instance, Andy and I have been together almost 11 years. Now we met. Thank you. Blessings. But we met at UCB and I remember so distinctly being like, I cannot hook up with this guy unless I know I want to be in a relationship because I know I'm going to have to see him everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, if we break up, and I just, like, it was, like, very, like, I don't know. I was, like, really nervous about it. I had hooked up with a couple stand-ups in my baby days.
You did?
Girl, please.
It was jealousy, for the joke.
I know. But I remember, like, again, this was, like, when I was starting out, so it wasn't as big of a deal, but there were certain open mics I stopped going to, right? Because I didn't want to see that dude. So then I knew, I was, like, you cannot let that happen ever again. So no comedian. So I was like, maybe an improviser. But then
you're like, I don't give a shit if I don't do a Harold ever again.
Exactly. I was like, I'll take the hit. But, you know, you were like, this was for you. It's like, that was a job. Like, you were legit working. And also, y'all were all still coming up together. So even if you weren't in a relationship, you were still seeing these people around at things. You know, was it a process for you to kind of like shake it off, let go of resentment, or... Are you a person in general who can kind of like
water off a duck's back?
Yeah, I think it took a really long time. It was painful. I mean, I act like everything's cool. And then I did that again with the guy that I broke up with him for. I was also like shunned from that social scene because I had issues. I was very codependent. And then I like,
we get that,
broke off with him. Thank you. Broke up with him in like a, you know, burn it all down kind of a way. And then they're like, you can no longer come to this club. And then like, so I didn't realize that until just now, that it was kind of a repeat of the same scenario on my part.
Well, you're welcome. That's what we do here at Couples Therapy. You. We don't have degrees or skills, but sometimes we can
psychology.
Not in psychology, but you know, applicable.
But like, is this something like, did you, because I'm thinking this is back in the 90s, right? So this is like pre-therapy. Well, this is pre where people were just like, you go into therapy and like talk about stuff, right?
Yeah, I feel like everyone talks about therapy now, but that's very new. The idea of like,
no, we had therapy in the 90s.
But did you go to it? But did people go to it?
No, I hear what you're saying. I think it was more of a,
it wasn't normalized.
I actually did go to a therapist that a bunch of comedians went to, and it was fairly normalized in the, you know, here in LA, but certainly not when I was growing up.
Yeah.
Definitely. It was not a thing.
Yeah.
It was probably just some far off thing that like rich people did, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or, like rich, lofty people. Like you think your thoughts and feelings are that important?
Right,
you're gonna go pay to talk to somebody, okay? Fancy pants like that.
I mean, you're from Detroit, right?
Yeah,
you're from the D. I had no idea. That's where my mother's from. Where'd you go to high school?
I'm from south of Detroit, from Downriver.
Okay,
Trenton High School.
Okay, just checking because you know Cass is the one everyone goes to.
Yes, I went to art school in Detroit at Center for Creative Studies.
Okay.
I crossed paths with some Cass theater people in my time, maybe when I was in high school or like 18 or something. But my school was right across from Wayne State.
Okay. Yeah.
But like if you're outside, like I'm from Pennsylvania, you just like therapy is something that either someone is court mandated to go to or it's like something you see in a Woody Allen film, right?
Yes, absolutely.
It's not so that you're like, well, I'm fine. Yeah, I'm pushing down all my emotions, but I'm fine. I'm dealing with it.
That's exactly right. And I think I probably, for as much as I try really hard to be self-aware, I also was really not, you know, because I kind of did that whole thing again in a different way. I recognize that person of like, I'm fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But so I think, you know, probably half of it I was able to see and then still working on it. I don't know. I'm going to journal about it, you guys.
You should.
See if I'm over it.
Yeah. Morning pages and just connect with yourself. Connect with yourself. You mentioned that you have a child, and I'm always very fascinated by comedians who have managed to have children. Oh, that dog is huge. A golden retriever?
Yeah, but he's like 80 pounds. He's larger than you. Ugh, it's just breathing. Earlier, he was next to me, and he was doing this. I was like, are you okay? Are you having a sob? It sounded like he was, now he's moping.
He feels the sadness of the universe.
He channels the sadness of the universe. And through dog alchemy, mm-hmm, he makes it into sweet, sweet dog love. Mm-hmm. a furry love. Through his breath work. Yes.
By the way, that's a good name for a Sundance film, The Sadness of the Universe.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Dog Alchemy.
I thought you were going to say Furry Breath Work. We got three titles, guys.
We got three
Our
titles.
Work is done for the day. We got three titles. That's how we do. That's how we do. It just comes out. We grab it.
Yeah.
It's called magic. Yes.
Comic children.
With a child. Comic with a child.
And just sort of, because obviously, like, you've been working this whole time, and, like, you know what I mean? You're in it. Like, were you someone who always wanted a kid and you sort of knew that? And if so, like, obviously, like when it's first born and of course you got to do stuff and you got to be in the house and take care of it. But I mean, like, as your kid is older, like, you know, you what? Like, I was like, I'm not.
Yeah,
like,
your maternal instincts are on such display. You gotta like put it in a room somewhere and do a thing.
Well, you gotta watch it when it's fresh from the oven. But, you know, as your child gets older and sort of like they have more activities, right? Like as they get older, they're like things you have to take them to and they gotta do and you gotta make sure they know how to read and stuff. How did you?
Your disgust is so palpable.
No, I'm not disgusted. I'm confused because I don't understand how you can do both because I can barely do this business. Do you know what I mean? Like I can barely kind of pursue this work and have energy left over.
I wish I would have met you a long time ago. Then because what I hear, yeah, you are being ridiculous. Your husband is right in his reaction to your callousness. You are being heartless. But no, what I really hear is that you think things through and you think a few steps ahead and you're reasonable because you're, you know, in the way that you're in UCB and you're like, let me not get crazy and just go with my emotions or my hormones or think that I want something. You sound very realistic in your assessment of what you're doing. And
thank you.
And yes, you're right. It is a little bit nuts. But on the other hand, it's kind of like when I was pregnant, I was working on a television show back then when I had a regular job, and it was kind of amazing. It like was. Being an actor on a show and not being in every scene. Oh,
right.
Are you kidding me? Like preg, they'd be like, cut, here's a chair, here's a glass of water. No, you can't be in that background shot because you're pregnant. Like they would have to shoot me from here up. It was a dream come true. And then I was very lucky that they just shifted stuff around because they could for like a maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So it was very easy. And then when it started back up, there were only a few days that I had like the nanny at work. Mm-hmm. But that was kind of dumb, you know, because then you're like, you have like a little tiny baby like that. I wish there was like childcare at the workplace, but not like right in your workspace.
Like in your trailer, you mean?
Yeah, because I'm on set and I'm still just like, oh my God, right. I can't, I'm not going to turn off, but I would if she was at home with him. But the fact that they're there is like, I'm just only worried about that while I'm at work. So.
Right.
And it wasn't really necessary because there was only like a few times where, you know, I had that many hours. I was very lucky in that way. Like it was a full-time job, because I was in only a certain amount of things, I didn't have to work every day all day. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you mean like you were trying to be like in the scene and you were constantly,
you're like, my baby's over there.
Like half your, yeah, like yes. Half or more of your brain is like on your child.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
half or more easily.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, I don't. I
to
mean,
be a parent,
I can't. I know 5% of every other human being's experience from my own limited, like from my care of my pets. I know like 5% of what it's like to be a parent.
The combo. I just want you guys to have a kid so bad. Like hearing you say the 5%.
What are you getting from us that makes you think that a baby should happen?
Yeah, no.
Film the whole thing.
The genetic line ends with us.
That's true. I mean, even though sometimes, like, it's funny. I was talking to a friend yesterday where I was like, you know, if I do end up feeling that urge, like, I'm, like, very down with adoption. Like, I feel like I'm like, I could do that. Like, that could be, like, you know,
oh,
nice.
You don't want to be pregnant and stuff.
No, like, my interest in being pregnant is actually only in, I'm very curious to see, like, what my body can do, right? Like, in that way. But that doesn't mean I actually want to be pregnant. Like, Mary Lynn, honey, I need my Wellbutrin and my Lexapro. I can't be going off my stuff, okay? Yeah. I need to keep on my things. And so I would love, like, I was like, because I said to him, this was like maybe 2 months ago, and this is, I think, quarantine gets
for the listener, the him is me. Naomi touched my hand as she said that.
What other him in the conversation, girl? Our listeners are geniuses.
Our couples there.
Our Fulbright scholars. They can follow. But like 2 months ago, I was like, E&D, what do you think about adopting a 2-year-old? And he literally was like reading something and he puts it down and he goes, what is this really about? And I was like, I'm bored. It's quarantine. I just suddenly was like, should I be a mother? And it was like, no, I need a hobby. Like, I'm feeling like I want some big change. Mm-hmm. But is it in the form of being responsible for another human being? That's the part that scares me. I don't even like to pick dinner. Like, I don't like to pick restaurants for people.
Yeah.
So, human being. Also, like, come on. We're actors, comedians. We're a little self-centered. Just a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I've definitely acclimated it. But even now, like, my son's 12. And the other night, like, he followed me into my bedroom. And I just, it was like a buildup of, like, me going, you know, can you take out the trash? Can you do... I'm like, can you get the laundry? He gets it, but it's still wet from the dryer or whatever. And I'm like, go put this back in. And he's like, sorry. And he runs upstairs. And then he follows me into my room. And there's a bunch of laundry that I haven't folded. And I went, oh, I'm like, I can't. And he's like, bye. I'm going to bed. And I was just like, what? There's always more to do. Like, I was having a moment. And he was like, I'm going to bed. See you later.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I have that without children. I have that feeling.
There's always more to do.
There's always more to do. This impending, there's always more to do. The list.
And, yes,
the
and list that gets, we that is about. Compounded, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's other things that you, that it's like this gift of where you're forced to let it go. On the other hand, where you're just like, oh, like I remember early on, it's very real where I'm like, my brain and my body were just like, I got to go be doing some other stuff. And it just, you... And then you have, then you're like, oh, I'm with my baby right now. Like, it's not an automatic, you kind of have to just go, I guess I'm just going to sit in the sun, in this sand with these other people's toddlers. Like, it just, you have to like, let yourself go through the process of letting go of things that you, it's like, oh, there's nothing more important that I have to do right now. And like, I'm fine. Who else do I want to talk to? Where else do I want to go? What am I actually worried about? And so there's like a really nice, you know, gifts in that.
Do you find that's also just like a getting older thing? Like, I find that the...
Yeah, maybe.
The older I get, there's like the stupid things I obsessed over.
Oh my God, totally.
I'm just like,
well, that happens with a kid 1000%. You're like, oh, I was worried about that, like my career. Now I have like a human. Like, that's so silly.
Do you mind if I ask, like, what was the, because it's such a foreign idea to us, what, like, going into, like, what was the decision like to be like, I want to have a child? Like, was it just a feeling inside you?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Like, some people just have it. Like, some people are like, yeah, I want to be a mom. Like, I just know that. Or, like, I want to be a dad. I know that.
Like, it's the same thing like faith for me. I don't understand faith because I don't have any, I don't have any religious feeling inside. So
really what we need is your help, okay? We bring you on the podcast to really help get us right.
You explain what this feeling is to us, and then we help you date. It's a quid pro quo. This was not
my recipe is to just throw yourself into things, follow your emotionals and your hormones, and just do things that you shouldn't do. And then once you're in that quandary, you just got to figure it out. What I'm saying is I got pregnant by accident, okay? Is that what you want?
You know I didn't have to hear it, but I was just curious.
You guys are the best. You're like, well, okay. You didn't have to.
Well, I didn't know because I saw your son just for like half a second, his little eyeball. I think at one point, and I was like, oh my God, is he in the room? Is this gonna? Are we? Is he discovering something?
He'll be here at 1:30. He can tell, but it's weird because I talk about it in my stand up. I talk about it in my writing, and I'm like, I'm just gonna have to be like, look, you know, my life revolves around you. I love you more than
exactly.
You, but this is what your mom does. She talks about her personal stuff and heightens it. And
right.
So, but
sorry.
So, when you say follow your emotions, so you always really had a kind of like high emotional IQ then.
I don't know if I would say that. I would think I.
Well, you knew what you like. You had your feelings. You knew like they were strong and they like led you. Well, yeah, that's not necessarily a high IQ.
Well, I just meant like, as opposed to like the, when I was talking about it, like, you know, the non-therapy other parts of the country.
Oh, okay.
Where it's like you push it down until like you just scream at, you know.
No, you're right. I'm gonna go with that, and I'm gonna take ownership of it. I see what you're saying, and I'm gonna say that is a very positive quality that I have. Is that, and that's kind of how I got into comedy too, because I didn't want to get a regular job. I didn't have any reason to think that I could do otherwise, and I just kind of followed my instincts and moved. And I was like, I like performing. Like, this makes no sense, but this is what I want to do. And, you know, having a kid was kind of like that too. I don't think I thought a few steps ahead. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It doesn't really make sense with the lifestyle, but I was very lucky in the, and same with my career. You know, there's part of it that was very organic, that things mm-hmm. kind of worked out yeah. the way that they did.
Well, you like that to me is like, it's a very optimistic outlook. Like, you kind of like, what do they say? You know, it's like, leap and the net will appear. It's like, you just did these things and like, your kid's alive. You guys like each other. You did good. Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yes.
it's like, it happens. Like you're working, you did good. Like
we did.
You know, that's like huge. Cause I know, I wanted to be a comedian, an actor for so long, and I just didn't know how you did it. I didn't know people, you know, who did it for a living, and I just didn't think it was possible for me. And then, like, I also grew up, like, I always had day jobs, and so I was like, I'm not gonna, you know, leave a job where I have income and health insurance for maybe a dream. Like, I just didn't think it would happen, right? And then
where did
help.
You grow up? Are you from
New York?
Oh, you're from New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And, like, and so I grew up, like, you know, going to theater, and like my mom was, you know, very into all that kind of stuff.
What'd you see? Cats?
You know, we saw Cats.
You just what'd you see? Starlight Express.
What'd you see?
Trying to think of a worst show.
I know.
The Grinch musical. Is that a thing?
It is definitely a thing. But I remember she said to me, like, there was one time where, like, I wasn't working. Like, I didn't have a day job, and I was, like, doing mics at night or doing whatever, and my mom just said to me, dead serious, she's like, Naomi, I did not work this hard and send you to those schools for this to be your life. And it was like, well, all right, fair enough.
She's like, two drink tickets.
Like, it was real. And so I was like, okay. There's like no way to kind of, it never felt like I could kind of just be in between and find out and just see where it goes. You know, it had to always be so like planned.
So how'd you do it?
So I got laid off in 2013, right? I was.
What
like,
was your day job, if you don't mind me asking?
I was an editor at an art magazine. And the magazine folded, you know, because print is dead. And then that was, so like, it's like, if I had not gotten laid off, I don't know what I would have done. I would have stayed there for as long as they would have had me and then like snuck out to auditions, you know? Yeah.
I think 2008 like really changed a lot of people's trajectories.
But that was you, right? Like, you left grad school.
Right. But I'm saying that for you, like if everything hadn't cratered in 2008, your magazine probably wouldn't have folded.
Oh, I see. But that was like 5 years later. I guess I didn't put those two together. Probably.
Repercussion.
Yeah. But you kind of were hopeful though too. Andy was a very like, I'm going to leave grad school. I'm going to go to New York. I love comedy. And that's what happened.
Yeah. But like, I mean, I took a series of like, I don't know about you, Marilyn, but like I took a series of like, I did everything I could to not do that first. Like, did you come straight out here after college?
No, I was following, it's what I was saying a few minutes ago, of following the instinct, but not, what am I trying to say? I had a friend who went to San Francisco for a semester, and I was like, I got to get out of here. But I didn't have any, in my conscious mind, I never once thought I can go into acting or comedy. Mm-hmm. I just felt like I was dying inside and I had to do something. Mm-hmm. And so yeah. I followed whatever thing was in front of me and
I see.
And tried to follow Like, there was a part of me that was leaping without a net, but I also was like petrified because it went against everything I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I didn't have the right or the business to be doing that, but I kind of just did it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I feel you. I think we're resonating kind of on the same wavelength because that, like, I think I was more running from that dying inside feeling than I was positively moving towards, because I had no idea. I just, like, moved to New York. I don't know. What do you do? Like, I didn't know what you did next. I just did it and then hope to, like, figure out some kind of, like, I just knew that's where you did comedy. Right.
Right.
But, like, it was more of this feeling of just of, like, utter desolation.
Utter desolation.
You know, the sadness of the universe was inside.
Yeah.
And I was, like, running from that feeling of desolation, if that makes sense.
Running from it to do comedy?
Yeah, like, it's what I wanted to do, but I couldn't positively go forward to that, right? I was instead running from that feeling, of awfulness inside.
You have to run towards, from the awfulness inside.
Right. I couldn't just, like, from a happy place be like, you know what? I'm going to go to New York.
Yes.
I had to be like, there's like a specter chasing me.
You know, that's like Mary Lynn when a specter's chasing you.
Yeah, I know that. Mine was a guitar from the Hard Rock Cafe was chasing me.
Wait, what do you mean?
What? Go on.
I just worked at the Hard Rock Cafe in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. And oof. I was doing open mics and had no car and was making minimum wage job. But that was my, the horrible thing that was happening to me was my day job that was chasing me into comedy. Is where my mind went with that.
Yeah. But did you actually, because I've done that before, did you actually, like, psychically concentrate it, like, like John Bon Jovi's guitar or something like that? Like, you've psychically, like, that is the symbol now. Of
leave me alone. Stop chasing me.
Slash
don't
guitar.
Sing Strawberry Fields Forever. It's not your song.
Why don't we take a quick break and then come back in? Now, I feel like that, like, we've hit some kind of emotional bedrock with all of us.
We've really, the three of us really came to Jesus.
Why don't we take a break and answer some advice questions?
Okay.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, y'all, let me talk to you for a minute about underwear. Yes, that's what I want to talk about. Now, I don't know about you, but my underwear drawer is the Wild West. I've got 12 different brands, 4 different fits. Half of it ain't comfortable. I don't even know where I got most of them. I open my underwear drawer in the morning and I'm like, what do we have here? And these are items I purchased for myself. How did I let it get so bad? How? Well, I'm telling you right now, I am getting myself together with the help of MeUndies. Now that I've felt the buttery soft comfort of MeUndies, they're all I'm reaching for in the underwear drawer. I got the cheeky briefs. This is the ones I bought. The cheeky briefs in a fun tartan plaid print. And I'm addicted. I'm addicted. They're made from sustainably sourced beechwood fiber and have a flexible, no-roll waistband that keeps them in place all day long. Thank you. Comfort and fashion. There are so many undies to choose from all black classics to fun, expressive prints.
MeUndies has a look for everyone. And they come in sizes ranging from extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for every body. Thank you, MeUndies, for the range. MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug. It's breathable. It's stretchy. It's ideal for all day wear. And if you're listening to this right now and you're saying, okay, Naomi, I have enough underwear. Well, guess what? MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring comfy joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. And they even have an activewear collection called Move Me, which is the softest activewear on the market. So get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Hey y'all, wanted to pop in real quick and let you know that if you like what you hear and you want to support the show, there are a couple different ways.
Most of our support comes from our wonderful Patreon community. For $5 a month, you get 2 bonus episodes of just us mostly spilling the tea and occasionally searching for crazy bread in Los Angeles, plus lots of other bonus content. We love our page pals, and we couldn't do this without you. And if you want to join, go to patreon.com/couplestherapypod.
We also have merch, which includes Gotta Miss a Bitch and Jubu t-shirts, yeah, which you can find in the link tree in our Twitter or Insta bios.
And for absolutely $0, you can rate and review the show on Apple.
5 stars, please. It'll only take 10 seconds, and it helps us tremendously. Okay, that's it. We love you deeply. Now back to the show. And we're back, Mary Lynn Henney. Why we ask you those questions is because we're about to give advice, and the listener needs to know where you're coming from. They need to know what you're about when you give your 2 cents. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to start off here with a beautiful voicemail. And as I always say, you guys, voicemails are my favorite. It lets me hear your voice. It lets me hear that crack in the throat. It lets me know how bad you are doing. Okay. Now, as always, you can call us at 323-524-7839.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I just had a quick question, or why would I be calling? I was wondering how appropriate it is to slide into someone's DM, especially someone who has a verified account. Like, there's a couple people on Instagram that I follow with 20 to 40K followers, so not a small amount, but I'm not talking about like someone with millions of followers. If I like them, should I slide into their DMs? They probably won't even see it, right? So do you have any friends or maybe even the guests? Do you have experience with a fan sliding in your DMs and how did that go? Feel like it's not gonna go well. Okay, thanks.
Okay.
So
okay, wait. Here's my first thing though. You want to slide into the DMs to do what? You see what I'm saying? Is it just like a letter of hi, I'm a fan, you're wonderful, or is it like you're beautiful, can we go on a date? You see what I'm saying?
Or here's a picture of my butthole.
Like, what are you trying to do?
Side note, I've just identified your forward moving mechanism because I was caught up in how she talked, how she expressed herself. It's blowing my mind. And what you did is you took the kernel and you said, let's be productive with it. Where are you trying to go? Which was like so brilliant. That's like such a good therapist thing to do, because where I went was like, I'm sliding into how you're acting about this whole thing. Where I'm sliding into like her attitude, I'm like dying.
Like, what did you feel?
Way she talked was like, she's not deserving of it, but yet she feels like she should be allowed to. And why shouldn't she connect with this person? But her whole vibe was like, I know I shouldn't do this. And like, what? Am I allowed to? I mean, they're not that famous. So it was like such a ball of like self-judgment and like, is she good enough? Like, she doesn't feel like she's good enough.
Oh.
That's but true. I'm like, I feel like I'm swimming in the soup of her behavior. And I love that you took it to, okay, you know what? I'm not going to get caught up in your drama of like, they only have 40. It's like, what are you talking about? This is a person that you think you're going to connect with.
Yeah.
But you're worried that you don't have enough followers or that you're not deserving. And you just went right to, well, what are you trying to say? That you're a fan of them, that you're in love with them, which I think is like such so smart and so prudent. And like, think about what you want from them and what you want to say above like all this worry and like self-torture and like you're not good enough. Like, that's your stuff. Work on that on your own time. If you really want to reach out to somebody, I love that response. It's like, for what? What are you going to say? Am I good enough for you? Are you going to point out how many followers they have? Do you think that's what they want to talk about? Like,
I mean, I picked this one because both of you are well-known people.
We're blue-checked, is what you're saying?
Go on.
Jesus. God, I hate this industry. So, I thought, but one thing is also, I mean, seeing this from Naomi's side, is that you get so many messages. It is, you can't comb through them all. Sometimes you can, you like, grab one or two and you like respond to, like my whole thing, obviously I don't have like a ton of followers on social media, but I have enough that I get messages from people. I always want to make the, my whole thing is like, I know that when I was on the other side of that and I would write, and I would like, reply to Scott Aukerman's, tweet, I would, if he would ignore it, it would make me feel
embarrassed.
Like, yeah, dumb. Yeah. Like, why did I do that? Why did I think that like this person would respond to it or something like that? And so I like knowing that behavior, I'm like, oh, I just want to like just like it so they know that I know that they exist.
Yes.
And so I know that like acknowledge they're reaching out. But like that's me at the modest number of followers I have. I seeing through Naomi, and I don't know about you, Marilyn, but I assume that like you get so many that it's difficult to like respond.
Well, that's a very real point that you make. And like Twitter is like a very special place for that to happen, because I do have people that have followed me for years that I don't even consciously make a note of their name. I just know how it looks and feels, and I know what they say. And I know I have a group of people on Twitter that just over the years have like caught my attention, and I feel like, oh, it's, you know,
right.
Cornucopia 892
with right.
Gonna send me a funny meme or whatever. Yeah, man, that's a real that's a real thing. Cause you wanted Scott Aukerman to be your friend. And you wanted Scott Aukerman to say, you're funny, Andy. Wow. You said the funniest thing.
Mary, you're being too real.
God, that is like, that is really like you. It's like in Indiana Jones, the Temple of Doom, you reached out and you grabbed my heart and pulled it out of my body.
That's what we want, though.
Right. Right. It's true. It's exactly what we want. It's very hard. I know. Oh, that's your heart's painful. There. It's here. It's okay. It's real.
What a painful
But that's a good thing.
No. You were great. That was not but it's just like, oh, wow. Yes. That is that like the truth of that was so like plain. Yeah,
it was revealing. And then the truth was
practically
revealing.
It's like, how do you get to be noticed in one of the comments?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just slowly make funny comments and hope that Scott Aukerman sees them over time.
One every 6 years. But like, so
we should tell her to just send a full frontal nude shot. Just go for it right out of the gate.
Go for it. Whoever it is. If this is to Martha Stewart, just show her.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I brought that up just as a practicality type of thing. That it's, I think it is difficult if you are going to slide into someone's DMs. They may never see it.
Well, that's a fact. Because there's also like there is a whole thing of like there's like what is it? Like message requests. Like there's like the primary, the general, and then the message request. And it's just like a number of messages. And like I've gone through like I do a lot of stories on Instagram. That's like the thing that I really enjoy. But people really do respond to them. And they will fully get into and be like, here is my suggestion. Here is my life. Here is what's up. And it's, I feel that same way. It's like, I don't want to ignore somebody. I think there's also something about the pandemic of it all that I especially am sensitive to that. Cause I'm like, we're all at home alone and kind of bored. So, you know, I try to like, but I cannot physically like write every person a unique direct message.
Yeah.
That, you know, says, but I lately, you know, I'm like, I can double tap. I can do like a laugh. There are like a handful of people that the same way you say, like where I'm like, oh, that person like cracks me up. And so like, I will legit like
yeah.
message, or I'm like, oh, like just certain people where I'm like, I feel like I know you. Like you just remind me of someone I know where, but then I have people too who like send me a lot of videos, memes, like whatever. And those are, I find difficult because it's like, basically what you've done is you've sent me something else to watch.
Yeah.
And I don't want any more things I need to be caught up on. I cannot catch up.
Has anyone...
That's a rough one. That's a good line right there. Don't send me something to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years, has anyone piqued your romantic interest through a direct message? The look
on her face, you guys.
On your face is one of... it's just like... disgust,
terror, a little bit of terror,
yeah, disgust and fear, like a stew of disgust and fear.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's been some cute combos, but I don't know how to do that. Yeah. I'm from another time, but I guess that's the way it's gonna go.
So someone has been able to.
Well, someone's tried.
It's been like friend of a friend.
Yeah, not a
we're having like a little extra combo, mm-hmm. but nothing. Yeah. No, nothing.
Right.
Big.
Yeah.
Stated, acted on.
I mean, I think, look, and that's why I'm saying, like, what you want to say. Like, I think the person may never see it. But if you are compelled to say, like, your work means so much to me, or I like you so much, if the actual act of sharing that will make you feel good, then go for it.
Yeah.
But if what you're looking
Great response.
For is, like, a connect, like, let's start a dialogue... that is just may not happen because it's like it's also just about like, you know, almost like emotional bandwidth. I can't be friends with everybody. Like none of us can. Not me, like I'm so special, but it's like we can't be friends with everybody. Like you can't remember everybody's details. You know, like there are people where it's like, what? It's like literally, you know, I've got 49 Sarahs in my DMs. I can't tell these white women apart. And I'm like, loving you, bless, grateful for you, but I cannot keep all the information in my head.
Yeah, it's a lot.
So that's how I feel about that.
So shoot your shot, but only if it's for your own
right.
emotional fulfillment.
Exactly.
Is that what we're saying?
That's what we're saying.
All right.
That's what we're saying.
Why don't we do
and
one
And don't
more.
Be afraid of a full frontal nude.
If you feel free.
See, this is why we got to get you back on them apps, okay? You're ready. You are bold.
If you feel free, I don't want a full
You're ready.
Frontal naked thing in my own house.
Copy that.
Copy. Okay, this is the right. next
this is,
one.
Again, I picked these ahead of time, but like somehow, I don't know.
They feel right for our
guests.
They
always feel right. So, okay.
Oh.
Hey, Andy and Naomi. Huge fan here. I've actually left a message previously that you and a guest from, one of your guests helped me out with, and I really appreciate that. I have another question for you, and it's not a relationship question, so I'm glad you are accepting any questions. So here's the deal. So growing up, I was always very musical. I wanted, you know, acting, music, all of that really called out to me. But I also grew up in the project, so what also called out to me was making money and getting out of the projects, which I did, my mother and I. But since then, I've been working in the corporate world and hating it. And for years now, people have given me compliments on my voice and mentioned that I should go into voiceover. Well, actually, in the beginning, it was more so you should probably do phone sex. but as I got older, you know, that was like in my 20s or whatever. As I got older, you know, the compliments I got were just, you know, oh, you should get into voiceover. So, recently I was let go from my job after several years, a very long time, and now I'm taking the opportunity to pursue my voiceover interest, as well as I probably will get another corporate job just to, you know, keep constant money coming in until the voiceover becomes permanent or like full-time. But my question to you Because Naomi, I believe you you worked a 9-to-5 before you gave it up and went fully into writing and comedy. I'm really nervous about transitioning from a career where every 2 weeks, you know, I got a check and I knew what it was, and, you know, to one where I know that it may not be constant checks coming in. How does one transition into that? I mean, I'm working on my budgeting. I think being let go from my job and working on, you know, I've enrolled in that online acting class. I'm actually doing some voiceover with my brother's company. I'm just now trying to get to the used to the ideal of not having a constant paycheck coming in and having to work with money that I may get paid from the different projects I do. But any advice you have there for someone that's, again, going from a 9-to-5 to something that really kind of feeds their soul, something that's more creative. And so that's it. So any advice you both can give would be great. Thank you.
So.
Wow. We didn't even know we were going to talk about this, Sandy.
Marilyn, what was your experience going from the Hard Rock Cafe to working professionally?
The plain and simple answer is you don't make that transition until it makes it for you, until you literally have more than you need in the bank. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people go back and forth, but he's saying all the right things. Yeah. And I think part of what he's saying, he didn't come out and say it, is maybe emotionally, but all the things he's saying is like, yeah, you might have to have a job to bring the money in, and you will still be, it sounds like you're doing all the taking steps to do all the things that you want to do, but you don't transition really, you know, until you're like, oh, okay, I'm doing this other thing full time and it's paying my bills.
Yep.
And then that's how you know that you can transition. And then even when you do, you're not going to have enough, and it's going to happen again, you know,
right?
Every few years for me, I mean, there was like that sweet spot where I was making money, but he sounds like more reasonable than I was. I was like, woo, probably didn't plan properly or thought things would be a certain way from then on. But you know, there's always times where I'm like, why am I at this point in my life and I still don't have any security, you know? Mm-hmm. So that is very real. And it's not, no matter what stage you're at, you know, we could hear a little bit about him, but that's going to depend on what you need to be, you know, like, right. Do you want to feed your soul, but like live in a studio apartment and not the best part of town?
Right.
Like what kind of balance do you want to have for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also like, as you said, like what you're saying too, is like, how do you make this transition emotionally? Like, first of all, just like, I hope you can save. You know, as you said, you look for another corporate job. The other thing is not just what that job pays you, but also, does that job give you the flexibility to pursue your hustle? Because one of the things is too, is like, part of how you think about your day job, think to yourself, this is the job that pays for me to pursue my hustle. It is what's going to help me like make a voiceover demo, or if you have to do that, it's going to help me pay for these like online classes. Mm-hmm. So if you can see it like that, you know, you don't want a day job that's like, they call you up at night, they get mad, and they like, you know, monitor your internet. Like, you need some shit that's going to let you do that.
Yes.
That is like, I think, the key. Like, part of why I said at that magazine, like, when I got my own office with a door, honey, all bets were off. I was doing me.
And it was, you had your own office?
Yeah, I got my own office at the end.
I don't think I ever visited when you were.
It was like, right, I was so mad too, because I was like, God, I had this, like, it was like the last year I had like an office with a door. And it was good. And it's like, you know, it was also a job too. I remember like our boss, he would leave work early all the time. He would leave work at like 2 p.m. every day to go pick up his granddaughter. And like, so I was like, oh yeah, a job where I literally only have to like look busy until 2. Like, so, you know, that was stuff, that's what I knew about that space, knowing I wanted to do other things. And so it's like, that I think is the other part too, because I think sometimes when you have a job where you're like, well, I'm not pursuing it, I'm just sitting at this desk all day.
Right.
You got to be able to do your thing.
So find a job that you can waste time at. Is what
yes!
You
know.
I think also like going to Marilyn's, the emotional part of it, you also have to like emotionally prepare yourself for what it is, which is a lot of uncertainty. Like living, I was always a person who like was terrified of living in the gray areas. And yeah. I think this is all yep. gray area. You just don't know
yes.
where your next job is coming from necessarily. You don't know. It takes a while to like get into it. You have to meet people. The other thing is it's not a meritocracy.
Right.
It happens to scoop up very talented people, but also happens to scoop up very untalented people. Or if you're the child of a famous director,
right.
you get to do whatever you want, despite critics.
We're talking about Malcolm and Marie. We'll deal with that later. Malcolm and Marie. But
interesting, because I couldn't tell, because I've just seen like the barest amount of mention, and I couldn't tell between at this point, because I haven't looked into it, the hype versus like, is this really okay? I see. When did you watch it last night?
So my longtime friend is a film critic, and she is repeatedly dragged in the motion picture because basically she had panned his like previous film,
Sam Levinson,
the director, and he was he obviously hadn't let it go, and so he like spent a lot of time talking about critics.
Oh,
who's
hilarious.
Who's Malcolm?
Okay.
Oh, John David Washington.
He uses John David Washington as a mouthpiece to criticize our friend,
and it's like
repeatedly.
But
anyway, sorry. That's
but that's what made us.
But that's also put like that resentment. You have to like deal with the resentment of other people who will just get something because they are the child of
or just like
a famous person
out and about. Like I think that's the other thing too. The thing I realized, right? I realize it's just as important to hone your craft as it is to be social. And so I think one of the things, for instance, with stand-up, you kill two birds with one stone. The nature of stand-up is that you're out and talking to people and seeing them. You know, with something like voiceover, it can be a little bit trickier because really the work is in people thinking of you when the time arises.
Yes, yes.
That's it.
Yes,
and
yes.
The only way you do that is by being out there.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously no one's out there specifically, which is why your girl now tells stories on Instagram. Because yeah. It's like, what are you doing to kind of be active and, you know, kind yeah. of in pursuit? Because that really is the work. It's like half the time it's like, you know, somebody asked me what they should do, you know, it's like a baby comic. And I was like, keep doing comedy. But then I said to her, I go, you know what? If you find you have any like extra money to spare, get your ass a publicist. Because there are too many people I know who are like 2-3 years into comedy with a publicist who just blow up because that person has put their face
everywhere.
Like they're in the Times, they're in New York Mag. And then you look at this person, and you're like, wow, they're like the shit. And, yeah. you know, it's like all part of it. And I said that to her.
Oh, is that what that is? That's a publicist.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
No,
it
is outright. There's no alchemy.
There's no dog alchemy to it. It's just what's happening. And there's some people where I'm like, you're like 2 years into stand-up. How?
So I think the emotional, like the ups and downs, the gray areas are really, if you don't come from this world, right, I think it's difficult. Like, did you have a difficult time dealing with that, Marilyn?
There was no other way for me. Which is kind of why I went to art school, because I didn't want to get a job and I didn't want to go to school. So I went to art school.
Yeah.
So I benefited from the structure. I benefited from the classes. But I, from the get, I remember, I don't know why I have this memory. It's very silly. But I used to work at Seattle's Best Coffee back when that was a place.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I still do this, the way I loaded the dishwasher, I was like, rink, rink, rink. Like my mind, I was like, I can't be bothered to like focus on this for 1 second. And I just remember the boss, the look on her face, just seeing how I did that was like, what is wrong with you? And I was, and then I was like irate of like, why are you even looking at how I do this?
Right.
Like, a waste of time, and I have other things to do. And she was just like, what kind of maniac, like what type of person? Again, a little silly thing, but that's, you know, I was like, oh, I don't
Yeah.
I could not be bothered to learn the cash register. I was just like, I can't. Like, I got like self-destructing. I tried to do a job like at answering phones at my friend's dad was a lawyer, and I was like, I cannot answer phones, like can't sit here, can't bored, don't want to focus, don't care, yeah, cannot. Either bored or can't do simple things or both.
yeah no I get that. It's I think I've heard this advice a lot, but I think it rings true. If you are if you can't do anything else,
right,
if this is something right. that is like so it's such a North Star. I hate that.
Yeah, it's just like such a pull. It's like
such
a pull.
If it pulls you so much, you're compelled, then that's pursue it full time. If not, it's a fun hobby.
If you have to carry frankincense and myrrh to the baby Jesus that is comedy.
Yes. Yes.
Or voiceover in this case.
You must do it. It's also like, again, like you sound like somebody, like you seem reasonable. And like you say, it's like you and your mom got out the projects, like you've been working, you know, like what has to be done, you know, which means.
Yeah, it sounds like
to keep your rent, you
know? It sounds like he kind of is already doing all the right things,
right?
Didn't it?
Yeah. So I'm like, just, you know, as you said, you're going to budget. It's like manage your money. And then like, again, think of your day job as funding the dream. So you can take the classes and meet the people. And I think those are your next steps. Taking the classes and meeting the people, honey.
Yep.
You know, and then always you could always do phone sex. Who are these friends who told you to do phone sex? Okay.
Maybe they just wanted him to.
Yeah.
I thought he should still look at that as an option. Like when he was like, oh, but I'm getting older or something. Like I was like, still do it.
I was like, honey, the voice is buttery.
Yeah.
It's
made my spine tingle.
Made your spine tingle? Oh my goodness. Mary Lim, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for bearing with our tardiness and being a true angel.
Yeah.
A true angel among us. We've wanted to talk to you for so long.
Yeah, you're a kind
I'm
person.
I'm so happy. I'm going to miss person. You guys when we hang up.
Don't so worry. Well, now we got your number. So we're going to text. We're going to talk. I'm going to send you screen grabs. You got to tell me your type. I need to know like what you're into.
Okay. Oh, shit. We're back in.
What's back your type before we go? Give me a
No, I can't.
Okay, fine. Okay, offline.
I'm dying.
I need to know. We shouldn't tell them because they'll slide into your DMs. They're going to slide into your DMs.
Lots of muscles?
Yeah, she likes lots of muscles. And
we'll build a type for you.
Not a lot of thoughts in his head.
Yeah. Like a Venice Beach volleyball dude.
But who laughs at every one of her jokes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, you want to go slam some beers and spike some balls?
That's it. That's what I'm looking for.
Bless your heart. Okay, you guys, I hope you had as much fun as we did. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.